Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship on this beautiful Sabbath morning. We will start our service, and we will begin with our invitation to worship. We come into the presence of the Holy God. But may be gazed upon. But is full of understanding. But who is always near. And let us join in our opening prayer. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward except that of knowing that we do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning again.
Good morning.
Good to see you guys out. Okay, let's go to God in prayer. Dear God, there is so much brokenness in this world. Please be with each family and each individual that's suffering. I pray that you will keep each family united, loving, and seeking you. I pray for those today who are suffering from poverty and don't have enough food to eat. I pray for the end to the wars and the violence. I pray that you will provide help for physical needs as well as spiritual needs in this world. Lord, and I pray for your love to cover the whole world and that everyone can feel the hope and the joy that you bring to us. We pray all this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Provider, we gather with hearts filled with gratitude for the love and light that you've shown us. Your word reminds us that true love is seen in the self-sacrifice of Christ. As we offer our tithes and offerings, we are reminded of the importance of generosity and stewardship in every aspect of our lives. May these gifts be a reflection of the love we have experienced in Christ and our commitment to steward them faithfully for the work of your kingdom. Use these offerings to bring justice, mercy, and hope to a world in need. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Good morning again. Our scripture today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 35 to 40 from the Common English Bible. I was hungry, and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothes to wear. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then those who are righteous will reply to him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you as a stranger and welcome you, or naked and give you clothes to wear? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? Then the king will reply to them, I assure you that when you have done it for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you have done it for me. The word of God for the people of God. Today we continue to look at the vows that we make when we join any United Methodist Church. One such vow is that we will be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in our power to strengthen its ministries. And additionally, along with that, we promise to support our local congregations by our prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness, so that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Now, so far, we have covered the ministries of presence, prayer, and witness, and so today's focus is on supporting our local congregations through service. It's important, however, to keep in mind and to be really clear about why we serve. We serve so that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That's why we do what we do. Serving in the local church, then, isn't about notoriety, awards, recognition, obtaining a personal passport to heaven, because it's what we're supposed to do. At the heart of all these things is the promise that we do what we do so that God might be glorified through our service, so that we might see the face of God in others, and that others might see the face of God in us, and that together we experience the hands and feet of Christ in the world today. It goes both ways. We see the face of Christ in those we serve, and they see the face of Christ in us. And simply stated, service is to help others who need assistance, and it is born out of and a direct result of our love for the Lord, and out of the love and concern for what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And when Jesus calls upon us, we respond because Jesus first loved us, and because we see another person who in some way is hurting or has a need. For example, most of us volunteer and serve in the church because of our love for Jesus and because what Jesus has done for us, for the ways that Jesus has touched our lives, for the ways that Jesus has called us, and we have been blessed by such callings. So consequently, we offer and use whatever gifts we have to offer up to God our services and do the best we can to serve others, our churches, our world, our communities, and God. Sometimes the conference. Serving, then, is about keeping our eyes and our minds, our hearts, and by the way, sometimes our schedules flexible enough for the divine to call upon us amidst the everydayness of our lives. I don't know about you, but generally when I've been called to help or to do something that I hadn't planned on doing, I do not get a phone call in the middle of the night from God that says, you know, I'm going to call you tomorrow at 2 o'clock and you need to leave room between 3 and 7. It just almost, I wish it did, but it just almost never happens that way. And so that call for us to serve can come to us from this wide range of people in a variety of places and in oh so many forms. It could come as a call to serve in the local church, to sit on a board, be a committee member, jump in when help is needed, and yes, even serve in our conference in our district. The call to serve can come as a call to serve in the communities in which we live. You know, we never know what's going to happen in our communities. And sometimes tragedy happens and we're called upon. We're called upon to be there in many different ways. Sometimes it just means participating in a community event or being a part of a community project or even an organization. It can come as a call to serve globally beyond our borders as we work for justice and peace in the world. It can come as a call to participate in ministries such as mission trips. Almost the whole church just took a mission trip, if I recall. It can come as a call to be those who fill boxes for Operation Christmas Child or help with the Heifer Project and so on. It could come as a call to help with our camps. On the other hand, the call to serve can just as easily come as a call to serve one who sits around our dinner table with us, sleeps beside us, is a family member, lives next door, or in our neighborhood. And it could be the stranger that simply Jesus calls us to love. I don't think it matters to where we're called to serve, because at the end of the day, what really matters is we are called to serve people. Our call by God is a call to serve people. So Jesus in today's text reminds us that as we minister to and serve others, we are ministering to Christ, and that those we're called to serve are people. They're human beings loved by God. And Jesus has a heart, we're told, for the very least of these. It sometimes evades us that such a simple thing as providing worship services on Sunday morning can serve the least of these. Sometimes the least of these sin among us, and we don't always recognize them as the least of these. Not everybody walks around with a sign on their back. So as we serve, it is not up to us to judge one's witness, as Christ deemed all of humanity worthy when he made the journey to the cross, died for our sins, shortcomings, and rose again. We don't get to judge those God calls us to serve. In today's text, Jesus calls those whom we are called to serve the least of these. And then Jesus gives us this vivid example of who they are. The hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, those needing clothes, the sick and the imprisoned. Such simple categories. It's easy to spot the hungry. It's easy to find the thirsty, the sick and the imprisoned. Isn't that all pretty easy to all of you? Can't most of you recognize that? You know, the hungry, I mean, they often show up at our food pantries, apply for assistance, knock on the door of the pastor's office. We know that in many places throughout the world that there are people without access to clean, drinkable water. And by the way, there are also people in the United States that are without access to clean, drinkable water. There are plenty of people who need clothing, and there's no shortage of people who are sick and in need of medical care, a ride to cancer treatments, or someone to assist in changing the bandages of the wounded. And there's no shortage of people who need to be visited. We certainly know who a stranger is to us, and it's not hard to find the imprisoned. Most of us know where the local jail is, and I don't know, maybe you've had the experience of being an overnight guest. But in truth, I don't always find this phrase, the least of these, quite as easily defined as we might think, at least not in my experience or the world that I live in. Because our communities, churches, world, and homes are filled with those who in some way find themselves broken and shattered and need to have their feet washed by the loving hands of others, as did Jesus wash the disciples' feet. So while I think Jesus is telling us that we need to do what we can to meet the basic needs of others, I believe just as strongly that these identifying marks that Jesus describes can be defined in much broader terms. Perhaps one hunger isn't for lunch, but for someone to assure them that they're loved and that they're valued. Perhaps one thirst isn't for physical water, but is a thirst for connection with another human being, the thirst of loneliness or grief, and they just need someone to be that person who listens to their deepest pains. They too need water, spiritual water, to fill the void of brokenness. Maybe a person's nakedness comes in the form of a vulnerability which has made them feel uncomfortable, exposed, ashamed, or even embarrassed. While one's sickness certainly can be of a physical nature, there are sicknesses as well which are not always quite as visible to the naked eye, and we're reluctant to share such illnesses as mental health, addictions, chronic fatigue, PTSD, and the list goes on. Sometimes our hearts are just sick. Sometimes our hearts are just hurting, and they are sick, and we live with this inner pain that just never seems to go away. The sickness of sins, of mistakes we've made, ill-spoken words, other circumstances, which has left us grieving and mourning our actions. And it could be that one's imprisonment isn't confined to a jail cell, but is riddled by past mistakes, abuse, fear, and a myriad of other forms of captivity. It can also come in the form of an overburdened caretaker who deserves a much-needed break. I remember well the young mother who had a bedridden child, and as I was talking with her, the tears flowed. And one of the things that she said, I love my child more than anything in the world, and I appreciate so much those who help. But sometimes I need to be the one to go to the grocery store. Sometimes I need to be the one that gets to go to the grocery store. You see, while she deeply appreciated those who shopped for her, she herself needed to leave the confines of her home. All this is to say, while sometimes I think the least of these are readily identifiable, I'm not sure the least of these and those we're called to serve are always as blatantly clear as you and I might think. The least of these are in all of our relationships. They are the ones who have less resources and options than we do. They're the ones that are overwhelmed by life and underwhelmed by support. They are the ones who feel they are hanging on by a thread, and they look at us as if we're holding the scissors. They are the ones we threaten or intimidate simply because of who we are and what we have and what we can do. Who are the least of these in your midst? Who are the least of these in your life? It's true, some might be anonymous, but some might be sitting next to you or related to you or your neighbor. And nonetheless, regardless of who they are, we are called to do the best we can to serve them. So we have to be prepared to see Jesus in the face, not just in the obvious, but in the not so obvious as well. Because if you'll notice in today's text, those named as the righteous, while they did provide food and drink and welcome the stranger and clothe the naked, how is it that they responded? Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you as a stranger and welcome you, or naked and give you clothes to wear? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? When did we do any of these things? When, Lord, when did we do any of that? You see, I find those really provocative questions. Because when they shared perhaps a loaf of bread with their neighbor, they did not recognize their neighbor as one of the least of these, nor did they see the face in Christ in the ones they gave the bread to. And they did not see themselves as those who offered the presence of Christ to another. They missed it. They were unaware, perhaps, of the value of what they had done. They didn't realize when they welcomed the stranger into their midst and showed hospitality toward one whom they did not know, that they were not only washing the feet of the stranger, but washing the feet of Christ as well. They didn't know that they were being and bringing the presence of Christ in the world. We don't always know. We don't always know. The people in today's gospel seem to have no idea of the difference that they're making. They're just going on about their everyday lives, and they seem oblivious to the effects of their actions. Sometimes we don't know the effects of our actions when we just help somebody. You know, my husband and I were talking the other night, and we were just talking about some different things. We were watching a movie, and it had a tornado in it, and he asked me, he said, have you ever experienced a tornado? And I said, well, yeah, two. One was in Monticello, Indiana. But another was when we were traveling to Decatur, Illinois. And I know I'm really old, so forgive me. But these were back in the days. Y'all remember the old CB radios? We had CB radios in our car. And my sister and I loved to play on those. And this storm is coming at us. And there's a truck driver that's not far behind us. I don't know how he knew who we were. But he heard my mother say, I'm going to outrun that thing. And he said, lady, you're not going to outrun that thing. Pull over and follow me. And so we pulled over under this bridge. He got us down in a ditch. He stayed with us the whole entire time. And when it was over, he said, you know, about a mile up on the right, there's a truck stop. Let's go up there and everybody gather their thoughts. We went up there. He bought us all dinner. Do you know that guy wrote a Christmas card every year for I don't know how many years? But here's the thing. He had no idea that on that day, he was being the hands and feet of Christ to two scared kids and probably an adult that was scared too. Sometimes we're oblivious to what we're doing, and we don't even know that we're doing it. In that moment, we were the least of these. As we drove forward that day about a mile and a half, it became really apparent we never would have made it through. It was really apparent we'd have never made it through. So notice Jesus' words to the righteous. I assure that when you have done it for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you have done it for me. You've done it for me. Now, I don't know about you, but I find it humbling and a frightening thing to be one who, like you, bears that responsibility of being for another human being the presence of Christ. I find it humbling that Jesus would trust me enough to be the hands and feet, one of many who bear his presence in the world today. Our service, then, regardless of the place to which we're called, it's no little thing. It's an honor to be called by God to serve whenever and wherever we're called to serve. So this promise of service that we make as we become members of any United Methodist Church isn't a small thing. It's a big deal. And I think we all want to make a difference in the world. We wouldn't be here. We want to make a difference in the life of another and in the church and in our communities. And I think we all want to see and experience Christ in our midst. And I see that in the life of this church every single day. Every single day. Whether it be on Facebook or the phone calls, the things you share, I see that every single day. You see, it doesn't matter if you serve as a trustee or head up the mission trip. Your service is equally as important. It doesn't matter if you're in the kitchen during the funeral dinner just cleaning up or the one who brought the casserole. Your service is equally important. And all too often, we want to make this text about judgment. But in truth, it's not about judgment. It is more about being servants of Jesus and serving others, loving our neighbor and being a hospitable people than it is about condemnation at all. Jesus tells this parable not to condemn or threaten his listeners, but to help them and us understand what it looks like to serve him and others, what it means to see the face of God in the least of these, however they present themselves to us. To welcome the stranger, care for the needs of others, and to be the hands and feet of Christ in the world today. To be a light unto the nations, the salt of the earth, to love your neighbors as yourself. As Paul said in Galatians 5, you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only don't let this freedom be an opportunity to indulge your selfish impulses, but to serve each other through love. And that's what Jesus is asking us to do in this text today. That is what Jesus is asking us to do when we're called to serve, or when opportunities are placed before us. Opportunities that weren't on the calendar, so to speak. Jesus knows we might not always recognize him in the moment, but he also knows if we will but look closely, regardless of where we serve, we will see him. We will see him in the face of the hurting and broken in our communities, our places of employment, the local church, and just about anywhere we serve, if we will but serve in whatever capacity we have as God's children. We will see Christ in us, and we will see Christ in them. Consequently, both the server and the served will see Christ in their midst, experience the presence of God in the situation, and when that happens, God is glorified. We are called to serve so that we might give glory to God. May you see Christ in others, and may people see Christ in you. And all God's people said,
amen.